أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الرسول لعلكم ترحمون. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the believers who will consistently perform acts of righteousness and piety, three things. Allah promised them that He will make them His wise children on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them that He will establish for them the deen which He has chosen for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised that He will replace the fear that they were suffering from with peace, comfort and security. In the next ayah, ayah number 956 of Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs all believers who aqimu salah, establish your prayer, establish the salah, atu zakah, discharge zakah, wa ati'u rasul, and obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'allakum turhamun, perhaps you will be shown mercy. So, expecting mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and enjoying the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon our deeds and based upon our actions. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you establish salah, you pay the zakah, fulfill your duty as far as your financial responsibilities are concerned. Obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, you will be shown mercy. لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مُعْجِزِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the believers and He says, do not ever think and do not ever assume that those who have committed kufr, those who have disbelieved, don't ever think that they can ever frustrate the plans of Allah on earth. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed when we look at the way they plan and when we look at their schemes and their plots and when we see what they are doing around the world and we feel frustrated. And we become despondent and we feel helpless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't ever think that they can frustrate the plan of Allah. We don't know what the plan of Allah is. They are planning and they are forming alliances and they are normalizing ties between themselves and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't let that create fear and panic within you. All of that is part of the plan and the system of Allah. We don't know what is this plan of Allah, what is the system of Allah, what is happening beyond our vision and what is happening beyond our knowledge. That is in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is in the knowledge of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't ever think that they can frustrate the plans of Allah. وَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ. Ultimately, eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, their abode shall be the fire of Jahannam. وَلَبِئْتَ الْمَصِيرِ. Allah says, how evil a place it is. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next few ayat once again emphasizes the importance of social etiquette. Now, there were ayat that Allah had revealed teaching us and obligating upon us seeking of permission. When we go as visitors and when we go to visit someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had obligated upon us that we should seek permission before entering any home. Now, there are some other people who live with us, for example, our own children, or people who don't really seek permission when they come into our home. Our nephews, our nieces, perhaps the children of our neighbors themselves, they are frequent visitors. They are in and out of the home. People living in one complex, or people living on one property. So they are frequent visitors. They are not the visitor that comes and requires permission and the visitor who is not always allowed to come into your home. These are those who are frequent visitors. What is the ruling with regards to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also stipulated guidelines for them as far as their visiting is concerned. Even the children living within your own home, and even the mahrams, your own sons and your own daughters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who have brought iman, لِيَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. Those slaves whom you own, this ruling also applies to the slaves that they had owned, because the slaves were in and out of the house. the slave did not really need permission to come into the home and leave the home. Today, perhaps we might have domestics and we might have people who are working on our properties and working within our homes who do not require permission every time they come in and out of the home. So what is the ruling when they are in the home and they wish to come into your room, or your children are in the home and they wish to enter your private section of the home? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let the slaves whom you own and those children who have not yet reached the age of puberty. They have not yet reached the age of puberty. They are of sin, meaning they are of understanding. But they have not yet reached the age of puberty. Let them seek permission whenever they want to enter upon you, and whenever they wish to see you, let them seek permission on three occasions. There are three times during the day when they should never come upon you, they should never come into your room, they should never come and see you unless they seek permission from you, even if they are residents living within that home. What are those three times? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those three times are your private times. Generally, those three times are your private times when you wish to be alone or when you are with your spouse and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies those three times for us. He says, min qabli salatil fajr, before the fajr salah, before the fajr salah, before the fajr salah. You might be in a compromising situation at that time. So if anyone, a child or anyone else, wishes to come upon you, teach them the etiquette that at this time, when you wish to come and see me, when you wish to come into my room, then you must first knock at the door, seek permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, min qabli salatil fajr. Number one, before the time of fajr. وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ. And when you take off your clothes, when you take off your outer garments, when? At the time of noon. At the time of noon, that was generally when people would take the siesta rest. So they remove their outer garments and they would like to be in a private space at that time. And that is one of the private times. That is one of the times when the person wishes to be on their own and do not want anyone generally to come and see them and visit them at that time. Why? Because they have taken out their outer garments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ. And the second time is when you have taken out your thiyab, your clothes, referring specifically to the outer garment at the time of noon. وَمِن بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَى. The third time, when they should seek permission and they shouldn't just walk in, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after the prayer of Isha. Allah says, ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ. These three times are times of privacy for you. Generally, you find that, for example, after Asr Salah, that is not really a time of privacy. Generally, at that time, you are not engaged in anything that sorts of puts you in a compromising situation. Also, after Maghrib Salah, that is when you are carrying out certain duties and mundane activities within the home and so on and so forth. But generally, these three times are your times of privacy. These are the times when you wish to be alone and perhaps you are carrying out some private, personal activity. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ. These are three times of privacy for you. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا عَلَيْهِمْ جُنَاحٌ بَعْدَهُنَّ. Allah says, outside of these three times, there is no harm upon you and upon them if they come in and out, unless you have given them specific instructions. But generally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there shouldn't be also too much formality within the home. Because then living in the home becomes uncomfortable. Living in the home must become comfortable. And everyone must find living in the home pleasant. So there must not also be too many rules and too many guidelines and too many formalities that every time they want to come, they must knock at the door, they must wait for permission. Yes, unless you have given them instructions. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, outside of these three times, Allah says, there's no blame upon you, and there's no harm upon you and upon them, ba'dahunna, outside of these three times. Which visitors is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to? Allah says, tawwaquna alaykum, tawwaquna alaykum. This is referring to the frequent visitor. The frequent visitors. Those that are in and out, those living within the home, and as we said, those who are carrying out certain jobs and certain type of works within the home. Allah said, "Tawafuna alaykum ba'dukum 'ala ba'd." You are frequent visitors of them, and they are frequent visitors of you. Meaning, you are all living within the home. Sometimes you are going into their room; they are coming into your room. So this applies to the frequent visitors. And the important thing we learn from here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us and informing us that as parents, we should teach social etiquette to our children from a young age. Allah has taught us about salah. When it comes to salah, start encouraging within them the importance of salah at the age of 7. And if they have reached the age of 10 and they are still not praying their salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, now you have the permission to even beat them slightly and lightly, so that the importance of salah is impressed upon them. So that is the spiritual side of it. Apart from the spiritual side of it, their social etiquette, how to interact, how to behave, character and so on and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here in this ayat also. That also starts from a young age. Start teaching them these social etiquettes and these morals and principles from a young age. You start impressing the importance of these things on their innocent mind, because then they will grow up with these type of etiquette and it will become second nature to them. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is how Allah clarifies things for you. All His ayat and His verses, even these things which we regard as something insignificant, and we have perhaps trivialized these things and these etiquettes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the importance by explaining it to us in the verses of the Quran. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ. Similarly, and in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified and has made clear and has explained to you these ayat and verses of His. Wallahu alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has full knowledge. Allah knows why He tells you to do what to do. Allah knows why, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He's Hakim. He has all the wisdom and the possessor of wisdom. He is wise enough to institute and to lay down certain etiquettes for us, for our own benefit.